Hi everyone and welcome to the Product Marketing Insider podcast. My name is Lawrence Chapman and I'm a copywriter here at PMA. This episode is brought to you by behavior analytics tool Hotjar. Hotjar lets you see how many people truly experience your site or product and gives your users a voice. Let real users show and tell you the changes your team should make to improve your users' experience and eliminate the guesswork. Use Hotjar to understand how user experience and interact with your product so you can make the changes that you need to make that matter most. Try Hotjar for free today at www.hotjar.com/alliance. Today, I'm thrilled to be joined by Rory Woodbridge, Director of Product Marketing at Whereby. Rory's an accomplished product marketer with experience working for fast-growth startups as well as international brands such as Google, YouTube and Amazon. Welcome to the show, Rory.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Oh, no, it's not a problem at all. Thanks for joining us. First and foremost, can I just ask what made you want to become a product marketer in the first place?
Well, I guess I kind of just stumbled into it. I mean, I think probably most of my career is a happy accident, really, that I didn't have much of a plan for. But I've never specifically sought to get into product marketing. I started off as a writer, though, and I think that kind of naturally lends itself to product marketing, and probably quite a few product marketers are writers in a previous life. But now that I've been working in it for, I don't know, the best part of a decade, I have to say just I absolutely love it. I think it's just one of the best roles there is, especially if you're a product-led company like the one I'm at the moment, Whereby, where the product itself is such a big part of the reason that people love your brand and the reason that you're growing. And then so being at that intersection, being kind of where all the fun is. And yeah, so product marketers, you get to work with the product team really closely day by day and inform the product roadmap and work on new solutions. But you're also part of a marketing team where you get to play with words and design and animation and all that fun creative stuff.
Yeah, sure. It's such a multifunctional role. It's something that's come up time and time again, to be honest. When I've been speaking with product marketers on the show, they just like love the diversity of it. And I can imagine that that's something that's appealing for so many people who want to be product marketers now.
For sure. And yeah, just so much variety as well. Like it's, yeah, you get to work with every different team. And really, if you like having a load of different plates spinning at any one time, it's kind of the perfect role.
Awesome. So how did you get into product marketing initially, and what did your first job look like?
So my first product marketing role was actually at Google. I was one of the first people in Europe working on Google Play, and back when that was in its infancy. And so I was working on the apps and games store, which is now, I think it's the biggest apps and games store in the world, and the music download store. But the reason I was there was to work on launching Google Play Music. I'd previously been at Amazon working on their music product, and so I'd come over to be part of the team that would launch Google's first streaming music service. And that was how I got into product marketing. And I'd say it was a very launch focused role. So Android was growing like crazy at the time, and with it there was a need to provide new products and new ways of engaging those users, and Google Play Music was one of them. And so that was my first role, and we launched in, well, I was working on a EMEA, and I think in total we launched in 41 markets while I was there, and so yeah, that was a lot of fun and a lot of hard work.
Awesome. And any listeners who may not be aware, you know, Whereby, it's a video calling platform. And obviously with remote working increasing massively during the pandemic, subscriptions to video calling platforms have just skyrocketed. Whereby promotes itself as like the easiest way to meet over video. But how would you differentiate the platform from alternatives on the market?
Yeah, it's definitely one of the biggest product marketing challenges that that I face on a daily basis is why Whereby. And I think all of the players in this category are facing an interesting challenge, where a year ago I think it was about promoting the idea of remote work and the idea of meeting over videos. And now we face a very different challenge where pretty much every company in the world has a video meeting solution. And now it's about answering that question of why. So I think if you asked our customers, it would be ease of use and simplicity, like whereby doesn't have any installs or downloads required. You can join in one click. When you create an account, you get a meeting room, and it's the same meeting room link every time. So you would have a whereby.com/Lawrence, and I would meet you on that. And if I ever needed to meet with you, I'd meet you on that every time. And I think people love that simplicity. They also love the design. So we're originally a Norwegian company, and I think with that comes a sort of certain beautiful aesthetic. And so that we're very proud with the way our product looks, and users seem to respond to that really well. And so I'd say that those are some of the obvious reasons, but then we're also thinking long-term about what our customers want from us. And ultimately we want to be a tool and a product that helps them have better meetings. We want meetings to just feel a bit better on web. And I think they do to an extent, but we want to keep contributing to that and help them host, giving them the product features, the content and the inspiration and the guidance they need to have more productive meetings, more human feeling meetings, and ultimately I guess feel the need for less meetings. Their meetings are so efficient and effective over video that they don't need to have as many.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of one of those things at the moment, isn't it, where you do feel, or a lot of people may feel, as though they are just constantly sat in front of a screen. I mean, I'd hate to see how long I spend out of my 24-hour day sat either in front of a screen or preparing to sit in front of a screen. And as you say, if I don't know, I like that element of the human interaction, and increasing the interactivity, even though you are not in the same room as somebody. I like the way that whereby seems to be placing an emphasis on improving that interaction between its users. I think it's really nice. So almost like with this whole phrase of the new normal, it's been a phrase that's been used time and time again, but what role do platforms such as whereby have to play moving forward? Can you see video platforms almost like ousting the traditional office environment post COVID?
Not necessarily, and I don't think that sort of plays into how we're thinking about the product. I think in one way, whereby just is in a position to lead the way in what remote work looks like. Whereby has been remote since 2017, basically since the team was founded, and with that has worked out how do you have a company culture that's almost entirely remote, and how do you make communication and asynchronous communication work. But I think it's also, I guess, to my previous point about reducing the need for meetings, I think we actually work quite well for any company that wants a hybrid. And I think there's definitely an argument for that being where things are going, where somebody might spend a couple of days in the office and the rest of the time be remote. And I think we're perfect for companies that want to work like that.
Yeah, sure. It's almost like just trying to not chuck all your eggs in one basket, really, I suppose. And because
I think it is tough. I mean, we designed whereby with kind of video fatigue in mind, and it's why you have things like the corners around it and of your camera, and you can kind of reduce the size of yourself, because we found that it's actually quite tiring seeing yourself in video meetings all the time. And even the color palette that we use is with that in mind, and it's soft greens and pinks and sandstone, but still a day of video meetings is quite tiring. And so I don't think any of us want to really be in a world where you're in 8 hours of video meetings a day, because I think that's too much for anyone.
It can definitely be rigorous, shall we say, to say the least. But and as I briefly mentioned in the introduction, you've obviously occupied roles in fast growth startups, as well as market leaders, huge companies. On reflection, how does the PMM function differ in your experience when working at two different ends of the spectrum?
I guess a company the size of Whereby, I think you have a lot more impact. And so I joined Whereby when it was 40 people, and I was the first marketer. And so with that, you just sort of find yourself getting involved in all sorts of ways that you can't have at bigger companies. There's just a limit to the impact you can have on the product or the business. Whereas I think you, at a company at our sort of nice size, and we've grown quite a bit since then, but I think it's still brilliant waking up every day knowing that you can have an idea and in some way deliver on that idea either that same day or that same week. And that leads to product marketing having a very important to play at a company like Whereby.
Okay. And focusing on the actual team itself, can you tell us a little bit more about the direct team in terms of, you kind of briefly touched on it in terms of numbers, but also specific roles within the product marketing team?
Sure. Well, so we're pretty small at the moment, but we're hiring a few roles at the moment. So it's me and a really great product marketer called Tom, who's come over to us with lots of experience at Spotify and iZettle and a few other big brands. And but yeah, we're looking for two others at the moment. But the marketing team itself, I think we've got about 20 open roles that we're trying to fill at the moment. So we've just had a new brilliant CMO come over, Ryan Benici, who was previously at G2, and he's got this brilliant vision for what the team and the department is going to be. And so right now we're just sort of in a really hiring spree of trying to grow out all the different departments.
Oh, brilliant. And in terms of teams outside of marketing, such as sales, product, operations, etc., which departments would you say that you interact with most, and what's your relationship with them like?
Well, yeah, it's one of the best parts of the gig, I'd say, is the fact that you get to pretty much chat and work with every team in the company. It goes without saying that product are probably the team outside of marketing that we work with the most. I probably speak to most of the product managers on a daily basis. We're still in that nice spot where sort of way where we're chatting very regularly on loads of different things. And so be it about meeting experience, be it about growth, be it about activation, be it about embedded, which is one of our fastest growing products at Whereby. And then outside of the product departments, We chat very closely with support. We work with sales, of course. We work with the user research and data and analytics teams. So you name it, we've probably got a Slack channel going with them.
Yeah, it's I totally understand where you're coming from. We use Slack here at PMA, and we've got umpteen channels going on. I can totally understand where you're coming from. So in terms of your journey, way back when you first started as a product marketer, and obviously you're in a great role now. What would you say the top three skills are that helped you get to where you are today?
I'd say the first one that jumps out is being good with words. As I've mentioned, I started off as a writer, and I've always loved writing, and I still write in my spare time. And I just think it's so important for product marketers to be able to play with words and enjoy playing with words, because no matter what you're working on, be it sales material or landing page copy or email marketing, it's going to involve words. And so I think it's important that you enjoy working with those, and it definitely helps to have a knack for that. So I guess I'm lucky to be okay with them. And then I'd say maybe next, an enjoyment for working with people. I really like just collaborating, and I think I'm pretty easygoing, and I try and be as easy to work with as possible. And I think that's really important, like building and maintaining relationships with everyone within your own product marketing and marketing teams, as well as everyone else in the business. And then third, I guess this is like an anti-skill, but being a jack of all trades and master of none, I think is maybe one of mine. I think being up for having a go at anything, like be it if someone needs to do some pivot tables, or if someone needs to write a newsletter, or if someone needs to have a first attempt at a wireframe. I think I tend to not mind having a go at anything, knowing that I'm probably not going to be the best at it in the company. But if it moves a project or piece of work along, then I get involved.
Yeah, just kind of roll your sleeves up and get your hands dirty, really. Yeah, it's something that I've heard.
Other people
who've been on the podcast, and you know, it's almost like the whole what better way to learn than kind of just doing it, really. Yeah, you know, being proactive as opposed to reactive. That whole philosophy of just going for it, and you know, if you're going to make mistakes, learn from them, type thing, really.
For sure. And whereby's in this brilliant phase of growth where kind of no idea is a bad idea. We're just trying out what works for us. And it's this kind of brilliant culture where you've got loads of talented and experienced but respectful people all trying out different ideas and working them out with each other. But but action and trying new ideas is really encouraged at the moment.
Awesome. And what does the process of actually introducing new products and features look like at Whereby? And how does this compare to other companies that you've worked at, as well as like startups?
Yeah, we're definitely working that out at the moment, and what the way that Whereby launches a product is like is for us, and what a successful product or feature launch looks like. And to some degree, I'm looking to introduce process for that, but not process for process's sake, because I think it's really important to not get in the way of momentum. But for me, the most important thing is whenever we launch something, it's about not explaining, this is a new feature and it does this. It's about talking about the outcome and the benefit for the customer. Why is this going to change a customer's life? Why is this going to make it easier to host meetings or run a better workshop on Whereby? So I'd say that's probably the most important thing for me when I approach launches.
Okay. So, I mean, just speaking with you, we can see that you're passionate about product marketing. It's like your vocation. Obviously, you've been doing it for a long time. That said, you know, is that everything, it's almost like the adage of there's no such thing as perfection. So is there anything in particular that you would like to change to make product marketing even better than it already is?
It's because it still feels kind of new as a discipline, but it also feels right now like it's becoming more and more of a thing, of like a priority department for product-led companies and technology companies. So I guess maybe continuing the internal education on the importance of product marketing, and then maybe I think a new trend we're seeing is product marketing being one of the first marketing hires for a company. And I think there's a lot of value in that. I mean, I'm biased, we're all biased, anyone in product marketing. But I think getting someone who's a marketer, who can do a bunch of different things, but ultimately, like at the heart of their role is putting the user first and thinking about things from a user perspective. What are the personas that we're going after? What are the jobs to be done or the goals of the people that we're talking to? And remembering to put that at the core of all the messaging and collateral that you're producing, I think is super important. And so I think it's becoming more of a trend, and I'd love to see it continue.
Okay. And in terms of what you do and what a PM does at the company, is there any crossover at all in your roles and responsibilities?
Probably not right now, I'd say. Like, I think there's so much marketing to be doing, and so much product work to be done that there's not a lot of overlap. And I think the product managers are in charge of, marshalling or managing their squads to deliver great product work and solutions to business and user challenges, and we're there to help them with insights and research and discussions and collaboration, and then be very involved in that product development and inputting. But I think it's important to remind ourselves that product marketers aren't product managers. And I've always found it's better to to bring kind of challenges or insights to a product team rather than, hey, I've got this idea and I think we should implement it tomorrow. I think you get a lot more out of a product squad if you come with a challenge. And so we don't see a lot of crossover at Whereby, but we do work very closely together on everything to do with the product.
Okay. Well, and it also, I guess it comes down to just something that crops up or has cropped up quite a lot in previous episodes that, you know, God knows how many guests have turned around and said, collaboration as a product marketer is just pivotal. You know, you need to collaborate. For any product marketers out there who are just starting off in their journey, what would obviously be like your tip for effective collaboration between departments?
I'm sure other people have probably suggested this, but I think assuming best intentions is a really good tip. Any company is like pausing for a minute before you send that Slack response or that email to think, okay, where's this person coming from? They're probably coming from a really good place. They probably just have a very different perspective, or they've seen a piece of data that you haven't, or that they've been given an insight that you haven't, and that's why they've done what they've done or said what they said. But assuming best intentions as the default, I think, has been a huge win for Whereby it's and creating the positive vibes that we have as a company every day.
That sounds great. And if there are any new or aspiring product marketers listening to the podcast, what would be your advice to them be to help them almost get the most out of their product marketing journey?
I think definitely like for fun, be thinking about the products that you're using where product marketing is strong. Like who are the apps or things that you spend money on that are doing a good job on their website of making it really clear about who their product is for and why their users or customers' that lives are going to improve by making that purchase. And yeah, so just and thinking about that stuff for fun rather than thinking about it in a work way. But yeah, I guess ultimately a lot of it comes back to storytelling and always thinking of product marketing like that, about telling the story of the benefits and how it's going to change something for someone. And that'd be my tip.
Okay. And to end with, I do appreciate that we're, on the 1st of March on the date of the recording, but, 2021 on the back of what was pretty awful 2020, hopefully it will see, some really great developments for product marketing. So what I'd like to ask you to kind of just end off, Rory, would be, what's your product marketing prediction for 2021?
For the discipline? That's a tough one. I'd say I think it's gonna. I see like two trends at the moment, or like things come up for me at the moment, like about personas and jobs to be done, and kind of the which way to think. And I think we'll probably find a sweet spot of how to blend the two in a way that really works for that, when you're then working out what your new website looks like, or when you're next building out your a sales deck. And so I guess that would be one thing, as well as probably that trend I mentioned of product marketers sort of being one of the first things a new marketing team needs a new startup.
Brilliant. And I'm not going to end on that question. I'm going to ask you one more, actually. So,
okay, here we go.
So, it's almost like being, in some people's eyes, getting, communicating the value of a product marketer. I mean, we did the C-suite report last year. We've published a C-suite report here at Product Marketing Alliance, just almost like focusing on the relationship between product marketers and the C-suite. How can, in your view, companies almost communicate the value of product marketing to key internal stakeholders to almost encourage them to invest in the product marketing discipline?
I guess at Whereby we're pretty lucky that C-suite all see the value, I think, in product marketing. And Eivind, our CEO, has been a big champion of everything we've done. I guess in a way that, like, if you're someone looking to, for your team, your product marketing team, to make more of an impact internally, I guess one of the most obvious things where you can add value to anyone in the business is continuing to provide insights. So obsessing over your customer and on a regular basis providing insights about those guys, something new each week or every other week, that just makes people go, okay, we better maybe rethink this process or this product message or this product feature. Because we're seeing our customer change quite a lot at Whereby at the moment. And so what our team's trying to do is provide regular updates on that, so that we're never basing too much on old or expired assumptions or knowledge.
Okay, brilliant. That sounds like a great place to end. What's been a great discussion. I've really enjoyed meeting you. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Yeah, likewise, Lawrence. It's been really nice chatting.
For everyone still tuned in, thanks so much for listening. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please help us spread the word to other product marketers. Before we leave you to get on with your day, if you want to get involved, here are a few ways you can. If you're a product marketer and you want to come on the show and speak about your day, a specific topic, or your role in general, that's one option. If you want to flex your podcast hosting skills, being a guest host is another. And finally, if you or your company want to sponsor an episode, there's a third. Thanks again, and have a great morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are.